Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out in the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? This extraordinary gospel reading this morning, there is one single line which is worth paying attention to. The most extraordinary verse, however, does not appear remarkable. It's innocuous, harmless, would even appear to be of little significance. It's this, in verse 7, as they went away. Well, why is this so important? Why would I draw attention to this? Well, we'll get there in a moment. To get to the bottom of what's going on in the gospel reading this morning, we need to realize that what is happening here is an enormous crowd of people over days and weeks is responding to not just one holy prophet of God, but two. John the Baptist, Jesus the Christ, two prophets, two holy people. Now, you know, in the regular course of your week, you don't come across a prophet, let alone two. Prophets who would have an insight, maybe, just maybe, into the very mind of God. Like now, we, I think, want to be in the presence of those who we might call prophets, in the presence of people who know which way is up, who know what, who perhaps might even know the mind of God, who might even be the answer to our prayers. We've got a sense of what's going on. And definitely, we like to be in the presence of those kind of people who might be able to solve all of our problems, all of our issues. These kind of people in our culture have always been attractive to us. And I don't need to tell you that politicians, past and present, and no doubt in the future, have worked out this detail and used it to position themselves as saviours of countries, of governments. More perniciously, cult leaders do the same and take advantage of people's desire for a prophet, someone who knows what's going on. Celebrities, Instagram is basically based, so far as I can figure out, on the attraction of those who might be able to share with us something that is life-changing, that might solve all of our problems. Now, the people of Jesus' time were no different to us. This morning we hear they had two prophets on their hands, but one of them, John the Baptist, is in jail. And so he sends disciples and a crowd of people to Jesus to find out whether or not Jesus is the one that everyone thinks he might be. Is Jesus, in fact, the Holy One of God, as John the Baptist has said? Can it be really true? And Jesus replies to John's disciples' question in what I call classic Jesus fashion. Let me be blunt, he says. Well, he doesn't say that, but I'm putting words in his mouth. What do you see going on around me? What do you see? You're not sure? Take a look. And I quote scripture, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them, and blessed is anyone who takes no offence at me. Now this is seriously good news. Around this man, Jesus, some serious and life-changing stuff is going on. We're not messing around in the shallows here about some nice guy giving people sort of nice platitudes over nice lunches for some kind of church fundraiser. This is extraordinary stuff. Around Jesus, the blind receive their sight. The deaf can hear again. The lame, they get up and walk. And if you weren't really sure that you were in the presence of the Almighty, the dead live. This is pretty hard stuff to ignore. But once Jesus had said this, described what is happening, to me something very odd happens. Those messengers, and no doubt with them, those with them, perhaps even quite a crowd, they walk away. And as they walk away, Jesus speaks after them. In truth, he probably shouted after them, which is what you do when someone walks away from you. "Hey," he says, "what did you go out in the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes?" In other words, hang on one moment here, people. What, when you heard of a prophet, when you heard of a saviour, what did you expect? Someone dressed nicely? Someone who, like a reed in the wind, can't stand up for themselves? What then did you go out to see? Well, here's what I think the crowd went out to see when they went out to see a prophet like John the Baptist. They went out to see what everyone wants to go out and see: a saviour of their own making. A person who may just magically solve all of their problems, descending upon earth with all the visible majesty and power of God, ready to clean up in an instant every ill, every problem, every little thing. But not just any issue. Let's be honest here. Their issues. You don't trek all the way out into the desert to see a man dressed in camel's cloth with a belt around his waist who eats honey and wild locusts. Boys imagined he would have had very bad breath. You don't go out into the desert to see a man like that unless you think he's got something to say and to give to you. You can imagine the scene. Wait, so we've come out to Jesus to find a saviour, and what do we find? A man who is giving sight to the blind? Well, I'm not blind. I don't have any blind friends. That doesn't matter to me. He's giving hearing to the deaf? Well, I'm not deaf. I don't have any deaf friends. Knew a guy at school once who was a little hard of hearing. But this doesn't matter to me. What else is this Jesus doing? Tell me what else this guy Jesus is doing. What else is going on here in his presence? What are we to tell John? He's healing lepers? Great. I'm not a leper. Danani lepers. Aren't they lucky? What else is he doing? What? He's giving the poor good news? Well, I'm not really poor, so that doesn't really, affect me. Don't the poor get enough attention already? What else is he doing? The lame are walking again. Well, I'm not lame. My great aunt Bessie's got a bit of a limp, but she gets by. You can hear it, right? Upon hearing about the extraordinary work of the Son of God, healing the lame, the deaf, the blind, giving the poor good news, healing lepers, raising the dead, for goodness sake, people turn away. They walk away. And not for the first time, I might say, in the Gospels does this happen. Why do they do this? Because, put simply, Jesus most likely wasn't doing anything for them. Like now, unless a saviour directly saves us, well, we might not be that interested at all. I don't really need to come to church. I don't really need to listen to the words of God. I'm a pretty good guy. What effect is this going to have on me? So the crowd walks away. And Jesus yells after them, "Hey, what did you expect? A guy dressed in soft robes, a reed shaken by the wind? What did you expect? An answer to all your problems?" Because to me, at least, at the heart of the gospel reading this morning is this: that being a disciple of Jesus, choosing to follow Jesus, is not all about your problems and Jesus being some wand-waving magician who steps in and cleans up your mess. In fact, one might say this, being a Christian isn't actually about you at all. God loves us very much. Don't for a minute doubt that. Every single cell we have. The psalmist writes in Psalm 139, verse 13, "For it was you," talking about God, "who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb." God has deep and intimate knowledge of us. But it is God who is the one worthy of our worship here, not us. Christianity is not really actually about us. It's about God. And God's Christ, who God sends to give us what I call the holy wake-up call. And we hear this morning that God's wake-up call is this. Jesus is interested in the poor, the lame, the blind, the deaf, in the child and the people who don't fit in, those who are imprisoned, those who are a refugee, those for whom the world is a terrible and awful place. And this knowledge that God would love and does love everyone, regardless of circumstance, regardless of context, regardless of what we might think of them, this is too much for some people. It's just too much to think that God might have come to save someone else from something way worse than what I might suffer. That God might be more interested in your neighbour than you are. But that's the gospel. That's the deal. And we see it time and time again, repeated and repeated all the way through all the gospels. Jesus goes after those who have nothing to bring them life. The sick, healing. The deaf, hearing. The blind, sight. Lepers, healing. The dead, life. So what do we do today in the light of this gospel, this good news? It seems like Jesus is sort of throwing down the old gauntlet here. Will you, when you hear all of these things that I am doing, will you still follow me? Will you get behind me and do my work with me? Will you love the poor? Will you love the sick? Will you love the lame? And will you stop thinking about yourself, loving only yourself, and help me love your neighbour? And while you're at it, send me a bit of love too. In your faith life, when you think of God, pray to God, come to church, who are you going out to see? There were those who, when they heard and saw what Jesus was doing, they walked away. They simply turned their back and walked away. Because what they discovered way back then, when there were two prophets, those two prophets had their demands of those who would come to them. Not just dole out magic potions or simple answers. Instead, Jesus called them to love and to follow him. And today in Advent, he asks again to do the same. Amen.